Well, let's read in Luke first, Luke chapter 13. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. I guess we'll read at verse 31. Luke chapter 13 and verse 31, we read, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out, depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Now today and tomorrow and the next day is 3 days." At least that's the way it was in math when I went to school. And the Lord says, I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following. So we want to look at these 2 days. Today, tomorrow, and the next day. I want to read about them. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And verse number 2. This will be today. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's today. Now, let's look at tomorrow. In Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30. Ephesians 4 and verse number 30, we read this, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." That's tomorrow, not today. Another verse in Acts chapter 17. And verse number, the latter part of verse number 30. We read in the latter part of verse 30, "But now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." That's the third day. So today is the day of salvation, tomorrow is the day of redemption, and the following day is the day of judgment. We want to look at those in connection with the gospel this morning. Now when we think of a day, we mustn't think of a 24 hours every time we see the word day mentioned. You remember Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they said, "You mean you're not 50 years old and Abraham saw your day?" He wasn't talking about the day he lived for 33 years on this earth. He was talking about an undetermined length of time. Sometimes we talk about our grandfather's day. We mean the day from the day he was born until the day he died. That's my grandfather's day. That's your grandfather's day. So what the Lord means in Luke chapter 13 about today and tomorrow and the day following I shall be perfected, I'm not ready to exactly say what that might be. I know if you look at those days as years, the Lord Jesus had 3 years of public ministry. At the end of those 3 years, he was perfected in the sense that he had finished his course, he had completed the race, and he was ready now to go to the cross. Not that he was imperfect before, but he had to go through those things in order to arrive at the cross. And of course, in the resurrection, he was perfected. And at the cross, he was perfected. His work was completed. It was done. But when we think of the day of salvation, today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. That's a day that's at least 2,000 years long already. Because that day started when Christ came to earth to lay down his life a ransom for sinners, and is still going on today. This is the day of salvation. Now they look with me in Psalm chapter 118, and the 118th Psalm. And verse number 22, verse number 21 of Psalm 118, we read this. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is quoted several places in the New Testament. It has to do with the builders, Israel, rejecting their Messiah, Christ. And that same Messiah that they rejected has become the head cornerstone of the temple of the building of God. And it says, now this is the Lord's doings, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Then it says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. What day was that? That's the day of salvation. That's the day in which we live. That's the day that I read about in 2 Corinthians 6:2. This is the day of the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's the day of salvation. Now let's look in the Gospel of Luke. And we'll see how that day come about. In Luke's Gospel, Chapter 2. Looking at the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus is born into this world as the King of the Jews. And it's a kingdom gospel. And it has much to do with the kingdom promised to Israel in the Old Testament and their king. And it has many Old Testament scriptures quoted in it. When you look at Mark sets forth the Lord Jesus in the first verse as the Son of God. And in that verse he shows that the Son of God has become the servant of God, the servant of Jehovah, and it's a book that has to do mostly with the service of Christ as the servant. When you get to the Gospel of John, it's not Christ being set forth so much as the Son of God, but as God himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John's purpose is to set him forth, not just as the Son of God, he does that, but as God himself. He was with God, he was God. Then you get to the book of Luke. Luke speaks of him as the Son of Man, the Savior and the Son of Man. So let's follow this day a little bit in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 9, we read, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day This is the day that the Lord has made. This was the day that it had its beginning. This was the day that in the city of David that a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, was born. This is bringing in the day of salvation. It's bringing in today. It's still day. Tomorrow hasn't come yet. So, that's the beginning of the day of salvation. It's the day when God sent His Son from heaven above to be born of a virgin, to become the Son of Man, and to eventually go on to die on the cross to save sinners. Now look with me in Luke chapter 19. Remember the account of that little man, Zacchaeus, who climbed up a tree to see Jesus? That's what most people do in order to see Jesus. They think that they can make themselves better, go to church, live a better life, lift themselves up a little bit. That's how they're going to see Jesus. That really isn't the way you see Him. Spurgeon once said, the way up is the way down. And the sinner must come down, as it were, out of a tree or any other height that they've climbed to. They must come down to the place where they realize they're just a poor, lost sinner in the sight of God. They must come down at the foot of the cross in order to see Jesus. They must see Him as their sin bearer. So little Zacchaeus, God says, come down. And he came down from that tree, and he received the Lord joyfully. And notice what the Lord said in verse number 9. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. That's the ongoing day. This day is born unto you in the city of David a Savior. That's the beginning of God's provision of a Savior. But He's still visiting in chapter 19. And He visited Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus came. Salvation came to Zacchaeus that day, because it was still today. And Zacchaeus came, and salvation came to me, it came to you, because we're still living in that day. We're still living today. Tomorrow hasn't come yet. We're still in the day. Now if you look in Luke chapter 23, you're going to see the end of a person in the day in which we live. In Luke chapter 23, I'm sure you're familiar with this. It's the thief, the two thieves dying on the cross with the Lord Jesus, and how one of them turned to the Lord Jesus and said in verse 42, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Still today. Still today. Now, that's just a little bit of the history of the book of Luke, from the birth of the Savior to the cross, that has a reference to this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day of salvation. This is the day in which we live. It's still going on. The unique thing about this day that wasn't true of yesterday, if you could use the term going back in the Old Testament, is that the provision and the call and the invitation to salvation goes out to whosoever will. That was not true in the Old Testament, although anybody could be saved in the Old Testament. But man becomes so hardened and so blind and so rebellious against God that at times God actually gave them up, like in the days of Noah. He gave up the entire human race, just saved 8 people, and started all over. Now those people that perished back there, they would have had an opportunity to be saved, but their hearts were so hardened and so callous that they become so depraved that God gave them up and destroyed them all. He did the same with other cities, like Sodom and Gomorrah and other cities. But then he just chose one man, Abraham. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with Abraham. And I'm going to bless him, and I'm going to bless his seed, and I'm going to bless the world through him. So he just chose a man and a nation called Israel. And he dealt mostly with that nation. But there is not a universal call going around the globe. Whosoever will may come and not take the water of life freely. That was yesterday. But today is different. The gospel is the gospel in the day in which we live. Of John 3:16 brings us up to date, and the difference is that in this day of salvation, there's salvation for whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, and you're not sure you're saved, then you can be saved because this is the day of salvation. This is not yesterday when God is not inviting whosoever will. This is not tomorrow. It's today, a day in which whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. A day when whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. A day when the Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a day he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. It's a day when he says, if the Son of Man be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. This is the day of salvation. Did you get in on this day yet? Zacchaeus did. He got in on the day of salvation. I'm glad I got in on the day of salvation almost 50 years ago. Just as a poor sinner, putting my trust 100% in the sacrifice Christ made for me on the cross of Calvary. That's where my trust has been for almost 50 years. I'd have to say, like the songwriter, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. All other ground is sinking sand. It's amazing how many people believe that Christ died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, yet they're not really trusting him. Some think, well, I've been baptized, that'll help a little bit. Or I go to church, that'll help a little bit. Or I try to live a better life, that'll help a little bit. It won't help one bit. Not one bit. It will not help you to be saved. In fact, it's more apt to hinder you than help you to be saved. And I'm not saying there's something wrong with doing those things in themselves. And there's nothing wrong with living a good life morally. We need that. Nothing wrong with that. But it's wrong to trust in those things to get into heaven, because you can't get there that way. There is only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you don't need anything more than Christ and what he's done for you. If you trust anything more, that's too much. If it's anything less, it's not enough. And if it's just trusting in Christ alone, that's it. That's enough. A little boy once said, I always knew Jesus died for my sins and was buried and rose again the third day. But he said, I never knew that it was enough. It is enough. That's all we need. It's true, after you're saved, there should be some evidence in your life of that salvation working in you. But it's not the evidence that saves you. It's Christ and your trust in him. So I trust if you're here this morning, you'll get in on the day of salvation. We don't know when this day will be over. It's soon going to be over. All the signs and all of the troubles in the world would indicate something has got to happen. Somebody said the world is like a jet that's gaining speed, and there's a limit to how fast that thing can go before it burns up. And that's the way the world is. Tremendous pace that the world and things are traveling, and the troubles are multiplied. Everywhere in the world, of every description, we've got trouble everywhere. And surely the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Surely the coming of the Lord is near at hand. He is coming. And when he comes, as we were hearing in one of those letters, he's coming quickly. It doesn't mean he's coming quickly in the sense of time. It means when he comes, he's coming fast. In a moment, the twinkle of an eye, our bodies will be changed. The dead will be raised. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's his coming in relationship to the church. And his coming in relationship to Israel is like this. As the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth through the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's his coming to Israel. You know, the lightning doesn't always come out of the east or the west. It comes from every direction. But the reason that is used there is the Lord Jesus is coming back to Israel, and his feet is going to stand right on the Mount of Olives, according to Zechariah 14 and verse 4, and his feet is going to stand right on the Mount of Olives, and that's on the east of Jerusalem. And as the lightning comes from the east, the Lord is coming from the east to the west. And he's coming into the old city of Jerusalem, evidently, through that eastern gate, as the victor over the wicked nations of the world at that time. This is the day of salvation. We don't know where it'll end. Now let's go on. Today and tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day of redemption. Oh, you say, now wait a minute, I'm redeemed already. I am too. But we never got to the day of redemption yet. That's future. That's not today. It's true, we're redeemed today. 1 Peter chapter 18 says we're redeemed not by corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Galatians 3:13 says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Ephesians 1:6 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We are redeemed already. See, this redemption was provided at Calvary, when Christ died on the cross for our sins. His blood made a propitiation, a satisfaction to God for my sins and your sins, according to Romans 3 and verse 24. That redemption we get when we trust Christ as our Savior. That's what it means, we are redeemed. But that will not be perfected until the day of redemption. Now, if you look with me in Romans chapter 8, and verse number 23, speaking of the creation that's groaning and travailing and trouble as it is in our day, and in verse 23, it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the spirits, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. That's the day of redemption. That's the day when my redemption and your redemption will be complete. Secure now. But it's not complete. Have you look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. In verse number 13. See, in whom here, of course, is Christ, mentioned several times in the book of Ephesians. In whom, in Christ, ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And that seal is the earnest, literally the down payment, the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. See, the redemption of the purchased possession is future there. It's when the Lord comes back tomorrow to redeem us unto himself, to redeem our vile bodies, to fashion them like unto his glorious body, and to take us to be with him forever. That's the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit is the pledge that he's given to each one of us, the seal that he's given to each one of us, that the guarantee that when he comes, that we will be secure until he comes back to get that purchased possession and takes it to be with himself. That's still future. That will take place when the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ, the trump of God, the dead in Christ will arise, and we which are alive and remain, and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to be the day of redemption. Now, you've got to get in on the day of salvation to get in on the day of redemption. If you miss today and the day of salvation, you're going to miss the day of redemption in the future. Because when the Lord comes back, he's only coming for his own. He's not coming back for anybody else. Only those who are saved, only those who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, only those who are his purchased possession will he take to be with him when he comes. Lovely prospect that is, isn't it? Remember this morning, we're to look upon Jesus as he walked. We're to look unto him as our example in Hebrews 12 and 2. But we're to look for him. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2 and verse 13. That's the day of redemption. That's tomorrow. Jesus says today and tomorrow and the third day. And you can't have tomorrow before today. And you can't get the third day before the second day. And this is the order. This is the order. There are at least three great days in the Bible spoken of in connection with God, apart from man's day of salvation. There's the day of Christ in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. The day of Christ is the day he comes back to get his redeemed, purchased possession. That's the day of redemption, called the day of Christ. Following the day of Christ, we've got what is known as the day of the Lord. And that evidently will go on for some time after the day of Christ. The day of the Lord will begin. And it will go on. You can read much about that in the Old Testament. You read a little or nothing about the day of Christ in the Old Testament. But you read much about the day of the Lord. It's the day of the Lord when he turns again to Israel. Jeremiah 30 verse 6, 7 says, it's the day of Jacob's trouble. But Jacob will be saved out of it. Israel, nationally, they will be saved out of it. That's the day of the Lord. And that day of the Lord seemingly will go on until the end of the millennium on earth and the end of the last enemy being destroyed, when the Son will deliver up to God the kingdom. And that seemingly will usher in the day of God that we read about in 2 Peter 3 and verse 12. 2 Peter 3:10, we read about the day of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:12, I think it is, or 13, we read about the day of God. See? So the day of Christ, the day when he comes back, that's the day of redemption. Then the day of the Lord will follow that. Then following the day of the Lord will be the day of God, when God is all in all, and Christ the Son will even be subject to the God in that day. So today is the day of salvation. Get in on the day of salvation, and you get in on the day of redemption. Miss the day of salvation, you're going to come to the third day. That's the day of judgment, day of terrible judgment. God commands all men everywhere to repent. That's today. Why? Because he has appointed a day in the future. That's the third day. In which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And he's given assurance unto all men in that he raised him up again from the dead. So there's a day of judgment coming. Every one of us Everybody living on earth today, 6 billion people plus on earth today, every one of them is living in the day today, in the day of salvation. Every one of them is going to live in one of the 2 days in the future, but they won't live in both of those days. Get in on the day of salvation, and you'll get in on the day of redemption. Miss the day of salvation, you won't miss the day of judgment. That's an appointment. You won't miss that. You're not appointed to be saved today. Nobody is appointed to be saved today. It's whosoever will may come. But people who do not come, they're appointed to a day of judgment. And that appointment, they're going to have to keep. If you're here and you're not saved, you're going to have to keep that appointment. If you're here and you are saved, you're going to get in on the first, on tomorrow, which is the day of redemption. Now, the day of judgment, that follows the day of redemption. It's a terrifying thing. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. That's not an appointment that has to do with a Christian. It's an appointment that has to do with unsaved men in general. It's true a Christian will have a judgment, not for sins, but judgment for their deeds at the judgment seat of Christ. But I don't think that's what's in view in Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And in Hebrews 10 and verse 31, it says it's a fearful thing, a terrifying thing, to fall into the hands of the living God. The order is very clear in these days. The next thing on God's program after today is the rapture. That will be the day of redemption for me and for you. The day when we're fully redeemed and conformed to His image in that day. Following that, there's going to be a time of trouble on this earth. Trouble that the Lord Jesus said never was such before or never would be after. And when you look in the Bible and throughout the world and see all of the tribulations and the troubles that have been in the world, the flood must have been a terrifying thing for the children of men in that day. The days of Sodom and Gomorrah must have been terrifying when fire and brimstone rained down from heaven upon them and consumed them all. But Jesus said there's coming a time that's going to be worse than that again. A time that will never be exceeded of trouble coming on this earth. It will be climaxed in a battle called the Battle of Armageddon, when all the wicked forces of this world are gathered seemingly around Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus will suddenly appear, and He will smite those wicked nations with the sword of His mouth, and there will be a great supper. So much so that God caused the birds of the air to come feast on the carcasses of men. A terrible overthrow of wicked, evil powers of this world. Then a 1,000-year kingdom on this earth, then following that, the resurrection of all the unsaved dead. And a great white throne set up in space. And all the dead stand, they're raised, they stand before that throne. On that throne there's a judge. It's the same one that hung on a cross and was judged for our sins. It's the same one that's going to be the judge of all those who miss the day of salvation. Terrifying thought. In that day there will be no need of a lawyer at that judgment. There'll be no prosecuting attorney there. God has the books. He knows the sins, every sin a person's ever committed. Every one of them will stand there seemingly speechless. If they have anything to say, it'll only be guilty, guilty, guilty. That's the day of judgment. That's the third day. That's the day following. That's a terrifying day. It ought to move us as Christians to realize that maybe many of our loved ones are headed for that day and not the day of redemption. Because they have never come as sinners and put their trust in Christ as their Savior. They're on a road that's going to lead not to the day of redemption, not to the rapture. It's a road that leads to the day of judgment, when the dead will stand before the Son of God. The same gospel in Romans 1 and 16 that says it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. In chapter 2 and 16, God shall judge the secrets of men by that same gospel. So the same Savior that died is the only one that is qualified to save us or able to save us from our sins, but he's the only one that has the right to judge sinners as well. He's the Savior of all those that believe. He's the judge of all those that are lost. Which class are you in? Did you get in on this day of salvation? Have you come to Christ and put your trust 100% in Him and what He's done for you? See, trust in Christ means that you're not trusting anything else or anybody else. Sometimes in visitation, people tell us they're Christians and something might come up that makes us wonder what, if they really understand. And I've often taken a little piece of paper and wrote over the top of it, "What is my hope of heaven?" And put 1, 2, 3, 4, and ask them to write, "What's your hope of heaven?" And sometimes they'll write 2 or 3 different things. I always include Christ there, but they'll put 2 or 3 different things. I love God, I go to church, I've been baptized, and so on. That's my hope of heaven. That's too much. That's too much. That won't get you there. Every believer should be baptized. Every believer should love the Lord, but that doesn't make you a Christian. It won't even help you to be a Christian. Help you to be a better Christian, but it won't make you a Christian. Christians are born. And they're only born by coming to a Savior who has eternal life, who has provided a ransom for us to blot our sins out so God can justify us and accept us on the basis of His sacrifice for our sins. And when we put our trust 100% in the blood of Christ as our Savior and live it there, rest it there, and trust nothing else, that's what it means to trust Christ. I hope you're trusting Him with all your heart and all your soul this morning, and know Him as your Savior. Then you can look forward to that glorious day of redemption when the Lord will come, and not that terrible day of judgment that will follow. Today, the day of salvation. Tomorrow, the day of redemption. The third day, the day of judgment. Shall we pray? Father, we ever thank Thee for this day of salvation. Truly it's the day that Thou hast made. Nobody else could ever made that day. All the prophets, all the priests, and all the kings that ever lived could never make a day of salvation. We thank Thee that in Thy wisdom Thou hast devised a very great plan of salvation, profound yet so simple that even a child or a fool need not err therein. We ever thank Thee for this day in which we live. And we ever thank Thee as Christians for that day that we can look forward to when we hear the shout, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." We ever thank Thee for that prospect that lies before us. And we ever pray, Father, to exercise any in our company that do not have that hope. And we pray as well to exercise each one of us that are saved, that we might be exercised about the many all around us that are headed toward that third day of judgment. So we ask Thee to work in each of our lives. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.